The following is an exclusive presentation of the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Grab by Chase at about the 30-yard line. Far side. He's in for the score. Touchdown, touchdown, Tigers.
There's a new team, new leadership. We got a lot of coaches. We got to set the standard of performance here.
Give me the sign. Give me the sign. Touchdown, Tigers.
That's about me. I'm the energy guy. I set the standard, and I can't let it slip.
And intercepted. Derek Stingley's got it in the end zone.
I'm staying in the office longer, working longer. I just do it by leadership.
A team of destiny and a team for ages. Tigers win. They are the national champions.
This is LSU 60 Special Camp Edition, presented by TJ Ribs, the official barbecue restaurant of LSU Athletics and home of the Ed Ogeron Show.
Here we go, here we go. Get that ball tight.
LSU 60 Special Camp Edition takes you inside LSU football as they prepare to defend their national title.
Burrow stepping back, throws Marshall in the end zone, got it! Touchdown, Tigers!
The latest news, exclusive player and coach interviews, and an outlook on the 2020 schedule. Now, from inside the shadow of legendary Tiger Stadium, live from the LSU Sports Radio Network Capital One Studio, here are your hosts, former Tiger Gordy Rush, and the voice of your Fighting Tigers, Chris Blair.
Greetings from LSU here on this Monday night. We're so glad you could join us once again for LSU 60 Camp Edition. So many questions unanswered, so much speculation. Well, as we sit here tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time, we are still set for kickoff for LSU and SEC football on September 26th. Gordy Rush is here, and Gordy, what a wild weekend. A little bit of a roller coaster for everybody.
My head is still spinning. Can't wait for this show.
But the good news is we are here, and SEC football is still on. Coming up tonight, got your news and notes, the latest on LSU football. Later we're going to visit with Peter Burns from the SEC Network to talk the very latest on the state of college football as a whole. Scouting report on the Bulldogs of Mississippi State on the menu for LSU this season. And later on, we get a visit from LSU offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger. We've got another jam-packed show, so sit back, turn up the volume, find something to melt the ice as we talk LSU football on LSU 60 right here from the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Whatever you bring, bring more. Whatever you personally bring to the SEC table, bring more. Get up earlier, sing and yell and stomp louder. Enough never is. Not here. Between the magnolias and the azaleas, legends and lore regale us, downright implore us. Bring everything you got, and then bring more.
LSU fans, show your pride with real Tigers gear from the official online store of LSU Athletics, lsushop.net. You'll find everything a Tiger fan needs, including jerseys, jackets, polos, t-shirts, hats, and more. With an awesome selection of more than 4,100 products, including official team merchandise from Nike. When it comes to team pride, there's only one place real Tiger fans go. lsushop.net.
Fire. The SEC fire never gets colder. Make it smolder. Feed it more decibels, more fervor and fever. Stoke with raw emotion and believers. Allegiance is the spark. Tradition is the ignition. And the chaos is the kindling. Drown out the distractions. Douse the don't care. Feed the fire. Feed it more.
Hey, Tiger fans, LSU wants to remind you to defend the spread by masking up.
The best defense against the spread is in your face coverage. Remember to wear your mask in public. Here are some quick and easy steps to stay well. Always wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching your face. Clean and disinfect objects or surfaces around you. And stay home if you are feeling sick. Thank you for doing your part. One team, one heartbeat. Go Tigers!
Snap back, give to Ty Davis Price. Looks for a hole, keeps on pounding. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers!
This is LSU 60 Special Camp Edition, presented by TJ Ribs on the LSU Sports Radio Network. Chime now for camp news and notes. Brought to you by 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. Now statewide on CST from noon to 6 p.m. weekdays. Esther Hanegriff and Mastona.
Back on the show tonight, we are ready and set for launch. So much happening on a minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour basis in college football. So let's get to the news and notes. First of all, Gordy Rush, earlier today, Greg Sankey coming out with a statement addressing the current situation. And then at 5:15 tonight, just to update fans, Scott Woodward, LSU Athletic Director, released a statement. And it says, quote, "We remain steadfast in our approach in the Southeastern Conference, taking all the available time to gather as much information as possible in order to make informed decisions. We are united in our process and our focus on the safety and well-being of our student-athletes. The recent flood of reports surrounding college athletics does not alter that approach. As we have said since the beginning, we are patiently working through each and every variable, following the direction of our Return to Safety and Medical Guidance Task Force. I believe our student-athletes want to play. We owe it to them to make every effort to do so safely." Unquote. Again, released at 5:15 tonight, from LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward, a couple of hours after Greg Sankey, of course, mentioned that, to paraphrase a little bit, Gordy, patience is maybe the best way to handle things. And that's really one of the things the conference has said since day one, even going back to the basketball tournament that unfortunately had to be scrapped in the college baseball season. But as you told me before going on the air, Scott Woodward with his announcement, and if you look across the SEC, it seems the entire conference, at least at this moment, kind of all feeling the same way.
What I like about what the conference has done, they really haven't altered their path. And going back to Friday, when they decided to, they finally came out and released who the two divisional opponents, the two extra games were going to be, and of course LSU at that time got Missouri and Vanderbilt, and then a whole lot of stuff happened over the weekend. And the next time that we've heard from the athletic directors and Greg Sankey was this afternoon to confirm what they've been saying all along. We're going with the later start. We're going to take our time. Patience is needed.
We heard today, and you know, this is what I mean by hour, minute by minute, and what it seems to be day by day. Earlier today, announcements went out on social media, Big Ten scrapping football. Mm-hmm. Then a couple hours go by, and then did they or didn't they? And even as we sit here tonight at a little past 7 o'clock Central Time, I think there's still a lot of confusion as to whether did they or didn't they.
Oh, the Detroit Free Press came out with a report early this morning saying that the Big Ten would not play. They would cancel the season, and Michigan and Michigan State would not play in 2020. And then something afterwards, the Big Ten came out and said there has not been a vote of the Big Ten presidents. And of course, social media went crazy. The president himself weighed in to the college football scene, and it has been a melee on social media. So what we don't know, the only official announcement I think we really got today was that the Mountain West Conference came right out, and they said they would not play. And not a huge surprise, as the Pac-12 is a team that a lot of people feel is leaning towards not playing, with some of the problems in California and some in Oregon and some of the states that have been really hit hard by COVID.
You know, I'm not throwing shade here, but you may have missed Old Dominion said they're not playing, and Elon football is not going to play.
I didn't. You know, it took a while for that to sink in that Old Dominion is playing football. I hadn't had that memo. It'd been a couple of years that the Old Dominion is not playing, but the rest of the conference, I believe, is playing.
As of right now, which makes it even more interesting for Conference USA. So Again, reports say the Big Ten is out. Officially, we're not real sure. Pac-12, of course, earlier today was expected to follow suit. That, of course, has not become official. And, you know, you're looking at two of the Power Five. And you look at the statements from Greg Sankey and, again, LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward earlier this evening. They're going to keep time on their side. Couple of more news and notes here as we move along on LSU 60. When it comes to players and, you know, big news going into the weekend and coming out of the weekend, Jamal Pettigrew decides to go to the transfer portal. He is now transferring. Decision was made to go to McNeese State. Mm-hmm. We wish nothing but the best for Jamal. And Neil Farrell Jr. opting out for 2020 due to the pandemic, says he hopes to be back at LSU, has another year, of course, had some family issues. And, again, nobody is going to, you know, fault him for that. And we expect and hope that we see Neil Farrell Jr. back in a Tiger uniform in 2021.
I think everyone's had some of these situations. So we talk about Jamal Pettigrew, was a four-star tight end out of St. Augustine High School. Chris, he just had the injury bug, unfortunately, at LSU. Good-looking prospect going to play with former LSU coach Frank Wilson down at McNeese. And you mentioned Neil Farrell, I believe, had a relative that has been in the hospital with COVID, and certainly you can understand what the Farrell family's going through. Prayers for he and his family, and, yeah, I hope he gets back to LSU.
Last thing, of course, late last week, along with adding the two new opponents to everybody's schedule in the SEC, which is part of why it was an up-and-down weekend, because on Friday we were all excited. You got the two new additions for LSU. It was Vanderbilt and Missouri. Mm-hmm. Missouri playing here. LSU, for their second straight year, will travel to Nashville. They also put out some new protocols for staff and everyone associated with football on game day, sidelines, and so on. And, you know, you look at, you know, the plans that are being made, and you just can't help but think they're taking everything into consideration. And for the most part, I think all of us are comfortable, from the staff to the coaches. And as we saw on social media starting last night, even the players.
Everybody's come out and voiced it. And you keep in mind, in case you don't follow the Big Ten, the Big Ten was scheduled to start September 3rd. First game, Ohio State at Illinois. That's a Thursday night. Of course, the SEC pushed their schedule back to September 26th. The ACC, it's September 12th. Even the Pac-12 schedule is still September 26th. So, you know, a three-week lag period between those conferences and the Big Ten.
There are your news and notes, once again brought to you by 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. Up next, Gordy and I welcome from the SEC Network. That's right, Mr. Peter Burns. He's going to give us his take on the state of the state when it comes to college football, and more specifically, the SEC. So stay with us. More to come on LSU 60 Camp Edition here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Baton Rouge Metro Airport has an important announcement. We miss you. And once you're ready for liftoff, we'll be here to get you there. To gear up for your return, we've been giving BTR a thorough scrub down and fogging every day to make sure your travels are as germ-free as they are hassle-free. We look forward to seeing you soon and to blue skies ahead. After all this time, it's about time you flew BTR. Baton Rouge Metro Airport. FlyBTR.com.
New Bud Light Seltzer, huh?
Yep.
And it tastes like a hard seltzer, not a beer?
Yep.
So it's light and refreshing?
Yep.
With a hint of fruit flavor?
Yep.
And 100 calories?
Yep.
You said this is Bud Light Seltzer?
Yep.
Well, I need to try it.
Yep.
Oh, that tastes great.
Yep.
Now, wait, are you just yupping me?
Nope.
Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Seltzer. IRC Beers, beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
Founded by faculty and staff in 1934, Campus Federal Credit Union has been a trusted partner of LSU and part of our winning team for over 85 years. And they're still here, faithfully serving our Tiger Nation, providing personalized products and excellent service to members wherever they may be on their financial journey. With 24/7 online banking, an expert mortgage team, plus the distinction of being Louisiana's top business credit union, membership has many benefits. But you don't have to be a Tiger to experience the Campus Federal difference. Visit campusfederal.org today. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
At Our Lady of the Lake, they know firsthand how COVID-19 has changed our world. But one thing that has not changed is their team's dedication to serving our communities. Everyone plays an important role in stopping the spread. Wash your hands often and stay home when you can. And now, their providers are offering video visits where you can receive medical care from one of Our Lady of the Lake Physician Group providers from the comfort of your home. New patients welcome. Just visit OLOLRMC.com to schedule.
Hey, Tiger fans, make sure every LSU game day is powered by Sunshine, your hometown John Deere dealer. Drive green this spring and get savings now on tractor packages for every property, starting as low as $188 per month. Keep on winning even in the offseason. Find more deals online and apply for financing at sunequip.com. Sunshine, official partner of LSU Athletics. Offer ends 8-3-2020, subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. 20% down payment required. See dealer for details.
Again, Texas trying to hide, whether it's a blitz or they drop back to cover. Regular rush. Burrow throws, has a man open, middle of the end zone. It's going to be Terrace Marshall. Touchdown, Tigers!
Back on LSU 60, Special Camp Edition. Presented by TJ Ribs on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Moving along on this Monday night LSU 60 special camp edition, and we're going to go inside the SEC tonight, and our special guest, a fixture on the SEC network, and maybe more importantly, a Baton Rouge native and an unabashed LSU Tiger fan, and beyond that, a fantastic Twitter follow, Mr. Peter Burns from the SEC network. Peter, how are you?
You know what? I'm doing well. I got an opportunity to do College Football Live earlier today, and the fact that I heard Ryan Day say, you know, he was fighting for the college football season made me smile a little bit. So there I was, an SEC fan, even pulling for a Big Ten coach to be right. I never thought that would ever happen in my life.
Right. I've got to jump in here, Pete. And what's been your reaction today seeing the outpour from the Big Ten coaches? You mentioned Ryan Day, Scott Frost and his presser at Nebraska. We get a lovely printed report from Jim Harbaugh that have all been a 180 from what we got originally from the Detroit Free Press early this morning.
Yeah, I think honestly they're upset, you know, and I think all college coaches are upset because, you know, they knew back in March, hey, listen, if we're going to have college football, we better get ahead of this thing right now. And so they've asked all these student-athletes, much like Coach O has said to his guys down there in Baton Rouge, saying, hey, do the right thing. Be smart, be safe, social distance, wear a mask. And if we do all of this, we're going to be rewarded. We're going to have a college football season. And now, you know, like Ryan Day told me earlier today, he's upset because all of a sudden he's telling his guys to work hard, do the right things, and all of a sudden he sees that the season might be canceled. And again, I wondered why the Big Ten would think about canceling before even just postponing a little bit and moving it back. It just didn't make any sense to me. And I think cooler heads are starting to prevail, going, all right, let's look at this a little bit of a bigger lens right now. There's clearly a rush to play. Guys want to play. Is there a way that we could push this back and be safe about it? Because I think they wanted everybody else to cancel, and everybody else is, nah, we're not ready to make that call just quite yet.
Peter Burns joining us from the SEC Network. All right, Peter, I'm going to ask you, because Gordy and I talked about it before getting on the air tonight, take us through your emotions, which those that follow you on Twitter I think have some kind of inkling, but for those who missed it, take us through the highs and lows, starting from the point that the conference issued their revised schedule, adding the two teams to everyone's schedule for a conference schedule only late last week, to this weekend when suddenly, out of nowhere, as far as I'm concerned, it appeared the chances for college football seemingly was falling apart.
You know, it's a great question because it's a mental roller coaster every single day. And some mornings I wake up and you go, you know what, this is awesome. Look, Missouri and Vanderbilt on LSU's schedule, that's a pretty favorable draw. Like that's, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, but the crown looks pretty good right now for LSU. And I get excited because I look at, all right, football's starting. I'm going to be starting doing shows again. And then you just have this gut punch of reality of, well, maybe not so fast. You know, it's like being told Christmas morning is about to arrive, and then there's no gifts underneath the tree. So, again, we may all end up, y'all, at the same destination, which there is no college football. And that would just be devastating on so many different levels. But at this point, I look at it like what gives me hope was days like today where you see the players step out and say they want to, the coaches step out. And frankly, I think the presidents will take that into account. And I think the leadership of the SEC, the fact that nobody bent to what the Big Ten wanted and said, well, let's take some more time, I think that's a huge credit to Greg Sankey and the SEC for always trying to stay in the back, kind of reading the room, and then deciding, because that's truly the true king of college football.
Peter, we all have, again, you know, we've all had to deal with this. I mean, whether you're involved in college sports, whether you, you know, just work, I mean, everybody in the country has had to deal with this changing landscape hour to hour and day to day. Your thoughts yesterday, and maybe it started Saturday night, actually, the players on social media, we all know the impact that it has. But I know that following you, you were listening to those who are in the leadership position, and you also touched on some of the guys that play the sport. What kind of impact will that have? Could that have?
I think it at least helps, and it gives some coverage to the schools about making a decision. Now, I said this needed to happen a couple of days ago. I said, I think that you're going to start seeing college football players be more vocal, because I told somebody, a high-ranking official at a Power Five conference, I told them, I said, listen, you can say all you want from an athletic standpoint, from the commissioner or a head coach or a chancellor or whatever. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like, what do the kids want? And right now the kids need to make their mark. And I told them that a couple of weeks ago, and someone said, well, you know, yeah, you know, the kids, you know, and traditionally, Chris, they've always not let the kids really talk about that stuff because that was what the grown-ups talked about. And now the kids are understanding, hey, we're not kids, we're student athletes. We're adults, we have a voice. And I think that's why we're seeing the tide turn a little bit right now about, you know, the glimpses of having a season. And listen, the Big Ten may still decide later today or tomorrow, hey, we're calling it a day, but at least everybody went down swinging. And I think that's huge to show that the students are getting a little bit more of an opportunity to speak their mind.
Peter, we've heard so much about the Big Ten and everyone assuming the Pac-12 will follow suit with the Big Ten. You're in Charlotte with the SEC Network in the ACC's backyard, essentially. What's the word from the ACC, and what are you hearing about the Big 12? Everyone's saying the Big 12's kind of on the fence.
Yeah, it's like The Bachelor, right? They're all trying to give the Big 12 the rose. Like, the Big 12, it feels like the Big 10 and the Pac-12 are like, come on, come to our cancellation side. And in the ACC and the SEC are sitting there going, hey, we'd like to give this a go. And I think, you know, they would like to see the Big 12 make that decision as well, too. You know, again, I think at this point, if I'm SEC and I'm the ACC and I'm even the Big 12, I say, guys, here's what we're going to do. Let's push everything back to the last week of September, the first week of October. Let's gather some more information. Let's give more time to figure out if, hey, these numbers keep going down. And once students get back on campus, or how bad is this? And if it's too bad to play, hell, it's just too bad to play. But I do think that they're going to wait and give this a go. And I think now that the players know how fragile it was that the college season was going to be done, I'll tell you what, I had a coach text me today. She says, if you think our guys were disciplined right now, think about what they are, knowing that one little misstep, the whole season could be gone. They realize that now, and they are locked in, ready to go and be leaders.
Peter, I'm not sure what that Bachelor reference was, but maybe you can explain it to everybody else. But real quick, before we let you go, I think we've all played commissioner in our heads at one point or another for those of us involved in college athletics. When is the time to make a decision? Was it early July? Was it August? Is it going to be the 1st of September? You kind of touched on it there. My belief is that the things we know and what we're learning through all of the changes day to day and week to week, it makes it difficult. Do you have a guess? Do you have a timeline, considering that now we are looking at the start September 26th for SEC football? Do you have kind of a timeline in your head?
I think you need to know. I think you need to tell everybody, listen, we'll prepare to cancel the season if needed, but we're going to go all the way to the last hour. Like, I mean, you know, we're going to study as much as we can before we take the final. And I, to me, I don't even look at December or September 26th, Chris, as being the drop-dead date. I mean, to me, we're trying to fit everything into this fall idea because it meets with New Year's Day bowls and when college football championships are normally done. Who the hell cares about the back end of the season? If we gotta start this thing in the third week of October and we can get 10 games in, and all of a sudden you're ending in mid-February, life's still gonna go on, you know. And I guarantee you, the NFL says, "Oh, we're not willing to move and stuff like that." The NFL will move if it comes to it, and college football needs to have a little bit more wiggle room, a week or two. So again, I still think that we're probably at least a good 6 weeks out before you need to make a good, hard, fast decision on what's going to go down.
Peter Burns joining us tonight. Peter, I think, I'm not sure, but maybe you can catch the rest of The Bachelor if we let you go now. A friend indeed at the desk of the SEC Network. Peter, thanks for coming on late notice. And if we get to Hoover next May, I promise you, I owe you a lemonade or a Coke. It's on me. No questions asked.
Hopefully, as long as there's some bourbon or some vodka in that, we'll be in good shape. And as long as Gordy's footing the bill, I'm in for anything. Steak, lobster, whatever.
Done.
Peter Burns, everybody. Stay with us. Thanks, Peter.
Later, boys.
Up next, Gordy and I sail the seven seas, and we give our scouting report on the Pirate of Mississippi. Arr. We're going to preview Mississippi State. They're on the menu next here on LSU 60.
LSU fans, show your pride with real Tigers gear from the official online store of LSU Athletics, lsushop.net. You'll find everything a Tiger fan needs, including jerseys, jackets, polos, t-shirts, hats, and more, with an awesome selection of more than 4,100 products, including official team merchandise from Nike. When it comes to team pride, there's only one place real Tiger fans go, lsushop.net.
Take it in. This SEC and its uncommon majesty. Rare is a place where everything means everything. The hype and the hope. Confounding and astounding. The sounding of packed stadiums shaking concrete. Take it in. The color of density, the intensity, just stand and be. Here, in this place, the birthplace of more.
Hey, Tiger fans, LSU wants to remind you to defend the spread by masking up. The best defense against the spread is in your face coverage. Remember to wear your mask in public. Here are some quick and easy steps to stay well. Always wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching your face. Clean and disinfect objects or surfaces around you. And stay home if you are feeling sick. Thank you for doing your part. One team, one heartbeat. Go Tigers!
Can't just watch. Basically impossible, roundly implausible, to enter the gates of the SEC and be a faint spectator, a fly on the wall, not at all. Excuse yourself to lose yourself in something bigger. The traditions, the superstitions, the fight song in every rendition. You can't just watch, not in the home of more.
John Emery in the backfield. John Emery going to get the call up the middle. He's got the first down. Breaks free at the 30. Far side, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tigers!
Back on LSU 60, Special Camp Edition. Presented by TJ Ribs on the LSU Sports Radio Network. Time to see what's on the menu. Presented by Capital One Bank. Gordy and Chris preview another LSU opponent on the 2020 schedule. Tonight, the guys preview Mississippi State.
All right, time now to see what's on the menu for LSU. You know, one thing that we didn't mention in the news and notes, while we did get the two additional opponents to the new All-SEC schedule, still not sure when we're going to play them. But, you know, Gordy, we just got to flip a coin, decide every Monday who we're going to talk about. And, you know, doesn't get much more interesting than talking about Mike Leach, the Pirate, coming to Starkville. He's going to have to become a landlubber, so to speak, and taking over at Mississippi State. And the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, obviously air raid. That's what you think when you think Mike Leach. And, you know, he's had a lot of success with that offense. And, you know, everybody's always said, what would it be like to bring that to the SEC? I guess we're all about to find out.
We're about to find out. It's been since, I think, probably Hal Mumme brought his version of it up to Kentucky, and it had some success in, I think, the late 90s, early 2000s with some of his ball clubs that we've really seen the air raid offense. Of course, Leach has had tremendous success at Texas Tech and at Washington State, and there were rumblings that he wanted out of Pullman and probably did all he could do there. But to go from Washington State to Mississippi State, and arguably the toughest division in all of college football, I think it was a little bit of head scratcher. And the fact he was taking over Joe Moorhead's program, where Joe had, along with Dan, they had been more of a spread run type of team. So you're talking about a total transition, I think, offensively, and what he wants to get done based off his prior stops.
Yeah, again, the coaching change was made in January, which, you know, on its face doesn't sound bad, except in this day and age of college football, I mean, it almost seems like even in January you're behind the eight ball a little bit. But they make the decision. They bring Mike Leach in, and like you say, I mean, you know, we've seen a couple of schools with coaching changes in the SEC, and you always say to yourself, well, their system is, you know, unilaterally different than the previous system. It's going to take some time.
Yep.
I don't know if it's going to be a bigger example of that than Mississippi State in 2020, based on what you just said, based on what they were built on.
No, no doubt. And he's going to try with a transfer quarterback in KJ Costello, who is at Stanford. It was interesting enough, was not a Leach guy, was not an air raid spread throw it guy. He was a pro style quarterback under David Shaw. But anyway, he comes over to Mississippi State. They've got a great running back in Kylan Hill, who was, you know, underutilized, I think, at times last year. And that's, you know, that's about it. They've got three starters on the offensive line. So a lot of the unknowns in Starkville. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Leach molds this offense together.
Couple of questions I have when I look at Mississippi State for 2020 when it comes to personnel. You mentioned Kylan Hill. Again, I think it's going to be key. How does he work into a passing phase for a running back? And I don't know that anybody has that answer that has watched Kylan Hill, who is an absolutely spectacular running back at Mississippi State. And then you look at the receiver room, and, you know, I don't know that I can name anybody.
No. And they lost a good bit off that team. Five returning starters on offense, and defensively, a lot of questions as well. So, yeah, again, it's a head-scratcher. And the other thing about it is that, you know, Leach all of a sudden, as I mentioned, in the SEC West, it's a different recruiting ball game in the SEC, where you're competing against all these elite athletes. And Moorhead had recruited, I thought, fairly well the 2 years he was there. Nobody did more with three stars than what Dan Mullen did, and that's going to be a challenge off the field that Leach is going to have to be able to prove. He's never been an outstanding recruiter wherever he's been.
Let's talk about Dan Mullen and, you know, his impact at Mississippi State. And it leads me to the defensive side of the football,
right?
Because I think Dan Mullen's success, while he was able to make quite a bit out of those three stars offensively and score points, he also had some pretty big-time defensive talent to help him at least stay within striking distance and have a way to stop your offense. And when you look at defensively what they've got coming back, they have experience, they have some guys returning, no big names that jump off the page. And as far as we know, they're going to go to a 3-3-5 defense because Zach Arnett takes over, and that's
right,
kind of what he did at San Diego State. Well, the 3-3-5, how effective will that be against the athletes in the SEC?
It's a million-dollar question, and typically you haven't seen a lot of people have success with a 3-3-5 because you've got to be able to stop the run. This is a physical football league. It's much more physical than the Pac-12 or certainly the Mountain West Conference. And you go back 2 years ago, Mississippi State had one of the best defenses in the SEC with Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons up on the defensive line, both first-rounders, and now they return just three starters from a year ago on what was really a mediocre defense.
All right, so We've talked about Ole Miss. They've got Lane Kiffin. Now we've talked about Mississippi State. They have Mike Leach. A lot of change in the state of Mississippi when it comes to SEC football. I asked you the same thing 2 weeks ago. What are you expecting overall from Mike Leach and the Bulldogs in 2020?
Not a whole lot. They play that 10-game schedule. If he's able to get three wins, I'd be impressed with three wins out of Leach in
all
year
right.
one.
Mississippi State, Mike Leach, and the Bulldogs on the menu for LSU. Much more to come up here on LSU 60. We're excited. We got the Slinger, Steve Ensminger, going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. LSU 60 Camp Edition presented by TJ Ribs. Right here on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere, even from your favorite hiking trail. With Capital One's app, you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from wherever you are anytime you want, even when you're cooking dinner. Open a fee-free checking or savings account online in about 5 minutes. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
Hargrove is a proud supporter of the Tigers. With over 2,000 teammates and 500 in the Baton Rouge area, they know you want an engineering and project execution partner who understands your goals, who brings you innovative solutions, and who is versatile in their capabilities. Hargrove offers a variety of engineering services like EPC, controls and automation, startup and commissioning, life sciences, plant operations, and more. They aim to exceed expectations in all disciplines, and they know the relationship is what matters most. To learn more, visit them at hargrove-epc.com. Hargrove, one team.
People's Health is your Medicare health team, and People's Health is proud to sponsor your LSU Tiger teams. People's Health knows that when it comes to healthcare, what works is teamwork. Every People's Health Plan member is backed by a Medicare health team of doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and other health professionals. Whatever your health goals, our team's goal is to help you enjoy the best health possible. So compare your Medicare coverage to a People's Health Medicare Advantage plan. Call for your free information kit. People's Health is the official health plan of LSU Athletics.
When you're ready to travel again, Baton Rouge Metro Airport will be here to get you there so that you can carry on. We've really missed you. And to show it, we've been giving BTR daily cleanings from boarding gate to baggage claim to ensure your flight is as germ-free as it is hassle-free. We know it hasn't been easy, but serving you again will put everyone here on cloud nine. After all this time, it's about time you flew BTR. Baton Rouge Metro Airport. FlyBTR.com.
Hey Tiger fans, make sure every LSU game day is powered by Sunshine, your hometown John Deere dealer. Drive green this spring and get savings now on tractor packages for every property, starting as low as $188 per month. Keep on winning even in the off season. Find more deals online and apply for financing at sunequip.com. Sunshine, official partner of LSU Athletics. Offer ends 8-3-2020, subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. 20% down payment required. See dealer for details.
Slings it far side. Stingley steps inside the receiver and picks it off at about the 13-yard line. Big turnover. Fifth interception of the season for Derek Stingley, who leads the SEC.
LSU 60 Special Camp Edition continues. Presented by TJ Ribs on the LSU Sports Radio Network. It's time for Coach Conversations, presented by Gulf State Toyota, proud partner of LSU Athletics.
Rolling along on this Monday night, time now for Coach Conversations, and we're always excited for the opportunity to visit with our next guest. He directed the most explosive offense in LSU football history, and arguably the most powerful offense in the modern college football age. No one exemplifies more what it means to be a Tiger than our special guest. Please welcome former Tiger quarterback and current offensive coordinator, Steve Ensminger. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I always appreciate the chance to visit with you.
Chris, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, you're a straight shooter. That's why people love you, and people love that about you, especially those of us in the media. Obviously, it's a different time we're going through, unprecedented, actually. And up until just over a week ago, we were all set to start the 2020 season in early September. And before the season was moved back, I know back in the spring you talked about the disruption of spring football, then the quarantine, the players were away on their own, and you told us how you and the staff kind of dealt with that. How did you feel about where the team was, the last couple of weeks? More specifically, the offense, as far as being on schedule, based on, you know, the different times and how things went during the spring and early summer.
I was excited about it. I'll be honest. You know, not everybody came back in tip-top shape, but, you know, our specialists, I thought, were in really, really good shape, you know, and they came out there since we've been practicing a little bit and doing some football schools. They've shown that the retention from last year to this year has been really good. Now, I'm excited about our offensive line. You know, there's big question marks there, you know, with all the new faces and everything else. But I tell you what they did. Coach Craig has done a great job during the virus and everything else as far as Zooming and going over the plays and everything else. And I really think they have picked up where they left off. And, and I'm really excited about the young kids coming in, our young offensive linemen, our young running back, our young receivers. I think are very talented young men. I think they have to get used to the pace we're fixing to go. I'm excited where we're at right now. You know, I'm looking forward to having another month to get ready for this and make them a little bit better. So I think we're a little ahead of the game.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I talked with Coach Tommy Moffitt. He joined us last week on the show, and he had a similar story, which was, hey, we expected to have to make up a little things here and there when it comes to physical condition, just simply because we were away from campus. Players were away. The coaches were away. But for you, after having spring installation and practice cut short, I mean, when everybody does come back and the players come back, did you take a little time for a refresher course on the offensive principles, or did you have to take a little more time maybe than you wanted to going over just the simple X's and O's that you guys had worked on briefly back in the spring?
Chris, we basically started all over. You know, once this virus hit and we was allowed to Zoom our players, we just went through our spring install from day one through day 15, you know, and then we were done with that. We started over again when we started football school last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Then we just started walking through some of our offense. So, and when we get back on August 17th, hey, we're going to start day one of practice like we did in spring in our Zoom meeting. So it'll be the third time they've heard it. And I think it's really good for our players with the new faces on the offense, with the young guys and everything else. I think this being the third time that they've heard it, the retention will be a lot better. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting started on Monday, and let's see where we're at.
Always great to talk with Steve Ensminger, offensive coordinator of your LSU Fighting Tigers, joining us here on LSU 60. Coach, obviously a great deal of talent has moved on to the NFL from a year ago. And I get the sense, though, at least talking to coaches and staffs over the years, that's a great problem to have if you have it year in and year out. That means you're pretty good program, and you've probably racked up a bunch of wins, which LSU certainly has. Coach O said a few weeks ago that he felt top to bottom the 2020 squad may be the most talented he's had here at LSU. And obviously the media and everybody who heard that kind of thought, wait, well, what is he talking about? When you look around your offensive unit and the skilled players, the returners and the newcomers, as you talk about, what type of potential do you see?
Well, you know what? When they first came back, and we had a chance to sit down and talk to them one-on-one as an offense, and I think we're a very talented offense. I really do. I don't know if we have the maturity that we had last year. There's a lot of questions to be answered. I think we're a very talented team, but like I told them, talent's not enough in this league. You know, you got to be a very disciplined team, which our team last year was, in 30-something years as a coach, might be the most disciplined team I've ever been around. And then the other thing that they had last year that we're developing right now, we had great leadership at every position. You know, each room had leadership. Our offensive line room had Lloyd Cushenberry, you know, had D. Lou. Our tight end room had Thaddeus Moss and Torrey. You know, our quarterback room, of course, had Joe, and the running back room had Clyde. So, you know, the thing was special about the team last year, not only were they talented, they were very disciplined, and there was a lot of leadership. Nobody let anybody turn away. They let them say, no, this is not how we do things around here. We do it this way. So, you know, I think we're a very talented offense. I do. I think we have to improve, and I've talked to them about on our discipline, and we have to develop leadership on this team for us to be a really good offense.
Again, Steve Ensminger taking time out to join us tonight here on LSU 60. You touched on it a moment ago, but one of the things I really wanted to ask you tonight was starting up front. You know, last year we all kind of knew skill players and the potential there was off the charts because of the talent and experience. But going into the season, everybody kept saying, well, you know, we just don't know how the O-line is going to perform. A lot of question marks there. As the season went on, they truly became the MVPs of this team, allowing those skilled players to do what they do best. And here we go again with many pointing to the O-line as the linchpin in 2020, so to speak, on how well LSU can be offensively. So you kind of answered it, but I wanted to dig a little deeper. Were the question marks going into last year to that offensive line, are they similar in nature to what I guess the perceived question marks are going into this season? And do you think that's a fair question?
Yeah, it's a fair question. You know, last year, I tell you, you know, going into the season, I was like, yeah, I knew we were a very talented team. You know, all the question marks was on the offensive line. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I think the MVP of our staff and of our offense was our offensive line, Coach Jimmy Craig, and our offensive line. They allowed us to do things that in the past we hadn't been able to do, you know. And you talk about just a mature group last year and the communication skills that we had up front, I think, is the biggest key. Now, going into this year, I think we're a very talented offensive line, but they have to learn the communication skills. They have to learn how to pick up the twist. They have to learn when the quarterback makes a check to a blitz, hey, who am I working to and everything else. So I think this football school has been very important for us right now, and look forward to seeing how far we can get during the course of next month.
You know, Coach, I've had the pleasure of talking to different radio shows across the country over the last couple of months, and I'm telling you, the question that I get every single time, regardless of whether I'm talking in California, South Carolina, Michigan, it doesn't matter. They all ask me, is LSU going to stick with the five-man protect? Because, man, they were really good at that in 2019. They weren't able to do it in 2018. My answer's always been, well, I think by necessity in 2018, it was hard to do. But my guess is the five-man protect is kind of what LSU's going to do. Your thoughts, if I were to ask you the very same question?
Well, we're not changing a thing. We 99% of the time we were five-man protection. Probably that be 99% of the time this year we'll be five-man protection. You know, it's when you are a five-man protection team, there's a lot of things that you have to do. One thing that helped us during the course of the season is we went fast. And by going fast, some of the defenses that wanted to blitz you, we ran them out of it some. You know what I'm saying? So we can dictate some of that. The other thing is by using five-man protection, hey, we can go empty. Hey, they have to show their blitzes, you know. And so it's just a matter of, hey, you know, the Florida game is a perfect example. You know, they wanted to play coverage, so we ran the football. We rushed for 200-something yards, and we play action pass, and we caught them in zone. We caught them in. The Texas game was another one. Texas was a blitzing team. They want to come out and blitz us and everything else. But we just started going fast, you know. So we're going to see, hey, can you get your signal from the sideline or all those blitzes you want to do, and get it on the field while we're saying set up, you know. So there's some things that we can do to slow down all that, but you know, we're not changing, you know, but we'll always have a six-man protection. And you know, the last play that we ran against Texas, the big play that to Jess right there, we went to six-man protection, know they're going to blitz it, and bought us some time to get that pass off. So we always have a six and seven-man protection in, and we'll use it when we need it. And last year, we didn't have to use it a whole lot.
Coach, we have to steal away for a short break, but if you'll hang with us, we've got so much more to discuss. Fans, don't go anywhere. We continue with offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger right after this.
Whatever you bring, bring more. Whatever you personally bring to the SEC table, bring more. Get up earlier. Sing and yell and stomp louder. Enough never is. Not here. Between the magnolias and the azaleas, legends and lore regale us, downright implore us. Bring everything you got, and then bring more.
LSU fans, show your pride with real Tigers gear from the official online store of LSU Athletics, lsushop.com.
tigerfan.net. You'll find everything a Tiger fan needs, including jerseys, jackets, polos, t-shirts, hats, and more. With an awesome selection of more than 4,100 products, including official team merchandise from Nike. When it comes to team pride, there's only one place real Tiger fans go. LSUShop.net.
Feed the fire. The SEC fire never gets colder. Make it smolder. Feed it more decibels, more fervor and fever. Stoke with raw emotion and believers. Allegiance is the spark. Tradition is the ignition. And the chaos is the kindling. Drown out the distractions. Douse the don't care. Feed the fire. Feed it more.
Hey, Tiger fans, LSU wants to remind you to defend the spread by masking up. The best defense against the spread is in your face coverage. Remember to wear your mask in public. Here are some quick and easy steps to stay well. Always wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching your face. Clean and disinfect objects or surfaces around you. And stay home if you are feeling sick. Thank you for doing your part. One team, one heartbeat. Go Tigers!
Again, go back to Davis Price. He's got a seam. He's down the near side hash. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tigers!
We continue with part two of our coach conversation, presented by Gulf State Toyota, proud partners of LSU Athletics on LSU 60, special camp edition on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
Happy to have you with us again tonight. Thrilled to have LSU offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger hang with us through the commercial break. Coach, just running through the position groups. When people ask me, outside of Joe Burrow, obviously, what's a position that will be most important to fill going into this year? And my answer is it's the play you got from your hybrid tight end and the running back. I mean, you can point to play after play and game after game last season where Thad Moss and Clyde Edwards-Helaire made things happen to keep momentum going or to get the momentum back for LSU. At running back, let's start. A wealth of talent returning. Do you see one guy rising to the top eventually, or could it be that LSU has the opportunity to offer a one, two, three, even a four-punch combination?
Well, Chris, I think you're spot on with your evaluation as far as, the position, the running back position, the tight end position. So, as running backs, I think they each bring something to the table, you know. Right now, we're not allowed with a football on the field, you know, but we're running the same offense. You know, we got good running backs. Chris Curry is a very good running back. Ty Davis is a good running back. Emory's a great running back. Our freshman's a great running back. But can they do what Clyde did? We won't know that until we start throwing the football around. You know what I'm saying? I know they can run the football. Can they get out of the backfield and get that one-on-one with the linebacker and make big plays for us? That's what we have to see. What are their ball skills? You know, can they catch the football? Can they catch the football deep? You know, so I don't have those answers right now. I do know we have four running backs that are very special in my mind. I know they can play running back. We're going to see which one can do it all.
Same question for the hybrid tight end position. And I assume here, and you and I both know what happens when you assume, it starts with freshman Eric Gilbert. He was Gatorade High School Player of the Year, highly touted coming in. All indications so far has been he's going to be an impact player. What does his skill set allow you to do on offense?
Well, he's a very talented young man, I'm going to tell you. I really think that, right now we're rotating three and four tight ends right there. But Eric Gilbert's a very talented young man. He brings something to us, you know. Usually, I'll tell you, put it like this. Usually, when you put a tight end in the ball game, whether we saw him flex him out all the way to wide receivers and everything else, usually they try to match it with a safety or a linebacker. You know, I think that's a bad mismatch for Eric Gilbert, I'm going to tell you, you know. But I think Eric has improved on – he's a very smart kid. He's learned our offense. He still makes a few mistakes, but he's a very smart kid. And he has to block for us. He has to do some run blocking. We got to be able to run the football to set up the pass or pass the football to set up the run. But I think the biggest deal is us being able to move him around and find out where the mismatch is. You know, you saw last year a lot of times into the boundary – we'd put Thad inside receiver, had to call a touchdown pass against Oklahoma right there. We put him as the outside receiver on the same side as Jamar Chase. I think it's a different animal. I think he's a different athlete. He's a little bit more athletic than Thad was right now. So I'm kind of looking forward to see how people are going to try to play that tight end position and who they're going to match up on.
Real quickly, Coach, you talked about leadership and the tons of leadership you had on last year's team. I got to believe the wide receiver room, at least going into 2020, is going to have that type of leadership. You got the Biletnikoff winner and Jamar Chase coming back, Terrace Marshall Jr., Trey Palmer, Racy McMath, Jarae Jenkins. That's just naming a few. Plus, you've got some really talented newcomers coming in. After each game last year, I would listen to opposing coaches after every game, and it was a similar tune. They just keep coming. We get the focus on this guy defensively, and then it's this guy, and then after that, it's this guy. I got to believe that's the plan again for the Fighting Tigers when it comes to the passing game.
It really is, and you hit it on the head again, Chris. I don't worry about our wide receiver room. I know the leadership there. I see it on the field right now, the effort that they're giving. But I really think that Chris Curry has done a great job in our running back room as far as being a leader. I think our offensive line, I think Austin Deckless has done a great job of leading. Darrell Rosenthal has taken some of that on. Chasen Hines has taken some of that on. So I see us getting better in that room. I think Miles Brennan has been a great leader for us in the quarterback room right there. So, each room is accountable for each other. And so we're trying to develop that leadership in each room. There's five units walking on that field, and I challenge them, hey, are you going to lead this room? Torrey Carter in a tight end room does a super job of leading that room. So, we have a pretty good head start. We just got to keep improving it.
Well, a couple of things, Coach, and I'll let you go. Can you believe I almost forgot about quarterback? But since you brought it up, I'm only going to ask you one question about quarterback. One of the things we heard last year was Joe worked extremely hard in improving his skills in the offseason, all facets of his role at quarterback. And that equally as important was his work to build relationships, his rhythm and timing with his receiving core. Compare what you've seen in Miles Brennan, having seen that work from Joe firsthand last year, and some of the things Miles has done following in that path, and maybe other ways that your expected starter worked to be ready for his moment.
Well, he's taken advantage of every chance we've had since we've been back. Even before all he was doing was working out and everything else, you could ride by the facilities or something, and even on Saturdays, and he'd be out there throwing passes to those guys, which is what Joe always did, and they were always out there, But I tell you what, the attention that he has paid to this offense, especially in our virtual room, making checks, seeing blitzes, making the check on this, checking to this protection and getting this in this route and everything else. He has spent all the time in the world during this time. Heck, all he has is time right now. So he has spent a bunch of time, and we're able to send all that stuff out on the iPad. So he spent a bunch of time on his checks, his blitz checks, his protection checks, his run game checks and everything else. And like I said, he's done everything we've asked him to do, plus more. Like I said, I don't ask them guys to go up there on a Saturday and throw the football around, but you can ride by there, and they're up there doing it every Saturday,
Coach Steve Ensminger, nice enough to join us. Coach, promise, last question I got for you, and I will send you on your way tonight. As we came into the season, obviously you added Scott Linehan to the staff as a passing game coordinator. You've talked about some of the offensive coaches that you have around you. And you told us when we talked in the spring, as you told us just a few moments ago, plan is to continue where the Tigers left off offensively in 2019 and, of course, in the national title game in early January. When you and the staff talked this offseason, what areas did you feel, hey, guys, we got to get better at offensively? Because Coach, for us in the media and fans, we just can't imagine how you could get better. But I do know enough about coaches, there's always a chance to get better. Where did you see those opportunities going into this year?
Well, I think bringing Scott in and of course, Kevin Falk, we sat down and we watched every play we could watch last year. And we talked about that. How can we improve it? Some of these routes, concepts that we had was really good. But sometimes we only ran them out of one formation, so which kind of gives you a tendency. So we just decided, hey, let's take our best concepts that we were so efficient on and everything else. Hey, let's see if we can run out of every formation. Let's see if we can do it out of with different person, not different personnel, but with our receivers and running back in a different position. So we've kind of broke down our offense and all our concepts in our passing game especially and say, okay, where do we want Jamar? Where do we want Eric Gilbert at? Where do we want Terrence Marshall at? Where do we want Race at? And now being able to run these concepts and we might have our three best ones inside. We might have our three best ones on one side. So I think that's that's the key to it, is taking what we do really well, and I won't say disguising it, but you know what? Them defense guys have to know that, hey, they can do this out of every formation, so they're not getting comfortable with it.
Coach, as always, a pleasure to have you join us on the show. I thank you so much for taking time out, and looking forward to 2020. Best of luck coming up this season.
Chris, thank you so much. You have a great day.
The Slinger, LSU offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger, has been our guest. You never have to read between the lines, and for that, we are all grateful. Stay with us. Gordy and I will wrap up this week's show right after this.
New Bud Light Seltzer, huh?
Yep.
And it tastes like a hard seltzer, not a beer?
Yep.
So it's light and refreshing?
Yep.
With a hint of fruit flavor?
Yep.
And 100 calories?
Yep.
You said this is Bud Light Seltzer?
Yep.
Well, I need to try it.
Yep.
Oh, that tastes great.
Yep.
Now, wait, are you just yupping me?
Nope.
Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Seltzer. IRC Beers, beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
Founded by faculty and staff in 1934, Campus Federal Credit Union has been a trusted partner of LSU and part of our winning team for over 85 years. And they're still here, faithfully serving our Tiger Nation, providing personalized products and excellent service to members wherever they may be on their financial journey. With 24/7 online banking, an expert mortgage team, plus the distinction of being Louisiana's top business credit union, membership has many benefits. But you don't have to be a Tiger to experience the Campus Federal difference. Visit campusfederal.org today. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Our Lady of the Lake is encouraging you to do what's necessary to help stop the spread of COVID-19. Wash your hands frequently, stay home as much as you can, and cover your cough. You can also schedule a video visit with Our Lady of the Lake Physician Group providers who can help you navigate any health concerns from the comfort of your home. New patients welcome. Visit OLOLRMC.com to schedule today.
People's Health is your Medicare health team, and People's Health is proud to sponsor your LSU Tiger teams. People's Health knows that when it comes to health care, what works is teamwork. Every People's Health Plan member is backed by a Medicare health team of doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and other health professionals. Whatever your health goals, our team's goal is to help you enjoy the best health possible. So compare your Medicare coverage to a People's Health Medicare Advantage plan. Call for your free information kit. People's Health is the official health plan of LSU Athletics.
Hargrove is a proud supporter of the Tigers with over 2,000 teammates and 500 in the Baton Rouge area. They know you want an engineering and project execution partner who understands your goals, who brings you innovative solutions, and who is versatile in their capabilities. Hargrove offers a variety of engineering services like EPC, controls and automation, startup and commissioning, life sciences, plant operations, and more. They aim to exceed expectations in all disciplines, and they know the relationship is what matters most. To learn more, visit them at hargrove-epc.com. Hargrove, one team.
Looking left, under pressure, Jacoby Stevens has him and brings him down for the sack. Way back at a 38-yard line, a loss of 11 yards.
Time to wrap up tonight's show. For one final time, here is Gordy and Chris.
Well, we've once again had fun tonight here on LSU 60 Camp Edition, and can't thank Peter Burns and Coach Steve Ensminger for joining us. And Gordy, I don't even know what to say to close the show.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week besides breaking down Arkansas. That's about all we can guarantee at this point.
We don't even know what we talk about tomorrow.
No.
I love it because you basically can say in our business, stay tuned. And that's, I guess you could say that every half hour.
Absolutely. We'll have a coach. We'll have a player. We'll talk about an SEC opponent, and that's about it.
But the one thing we hope is that we're going to be talking about SEC football on September 26th.
Amen.
All right, that's where we're headed. Gordy, thanks for joining us. As always, we'll see you next Monday. Have a great week.
You too.
All right, Tiger fans, you have a great week as well. Stay tuned for the latest on LSU football, LSU athletics, of course, at lsusports.net. 365, 24/7, 24/7, 365, and of course, at LSU football and at LSU sports. For Gordy Rush, Peter Burns, Coach Steve Ensminger, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Monday here on LSU 60 Camp Edition. So long, everybody, and go Tigers.
You've been listening to LSU 60 Special Camp Edition, presented by TJ Ribs, the official barbecue restaurant of LSU Athletics and home of the Ed Ogeron Show. LSU 60 Special Camp Edition is an exclusive presentation of the LSU Sports Radio Network, LSUSB, and Outfront Sports. Network is a division of LSUSB and Outfront Sports.